Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
It's good to have you here on Christmas Eve. It's a beautiful night. It's a bit embarrassing, actually. Sorry. I turn it off. It's kind of vibrating. Oh, no. Can you hold a sec? Just hold a sec. It's like the Facebook feed. It's from Elfie, for those who are part of our church family. He's not here tonight, looking after the kids. I don't know why on earth he sent it at this time. It's like, Elfie, like, get a life. Why would you send this to me? Can you believe it? If you replay the 2007 AFL Grand Final at 9:41:22 on December the 31st, the final siren will sound right as the clock strikes midnight. Start off your new year right. Can you believe it? I mean, it's kind of bizarre. Can you credit the mentality of our Aussies? 1,692 go, yes, we love the post. 1,138 go, ha. Now, there is absolutely no excitement of these all Hawthorn supporters. I know Andrew Brown's here. Is there a Richmond person here? Where's Con?
Right here.
There's not a lot of excitement. What's your reaction to it? I mean, on Facebook reactions, here's your choice. Angry at the post? Ha-ha. Love it. Con? Yes? Sad? Wow. Facebook gives us a window into many aspects of our modern life. In a fascinating article, you might have seen it, was just in this month of December, there was an analysis of Facebook reactions. The loves, the ha-has, the sads, the angry, and the wows. That was Australian analysis. There were 150,000 Facebook posts that were analysed from 11 Australian online news outlets. The reason for the research, people were trying to make sense of what makes people tick, or in fact, what makes them ticked off, using Facebook as the window. 24 million emotional reactions since January 1, 2017. If you had responded with an emotional reaction to one of the Aussie news stories on one of those feeds, then it's likely that your reactions will be in these results. Anger was the most popular reaction on 169 of the 343 days that were captured in the data. Anger first, and then sad, and then all the way down the list. Ha-ha, further down, love, and very few wows. If you combine all of the reactions to all of the posts for the year, then this is the picture. The dominant one was sad, and then angry, and then the others just fall away. If that's a picture of our world, our Aussie world, it's not a picture of a lot of joy, is it? When we talk about joy, we're speaking about this abiding sense of happiness. When you look at that data, but you probably don't need the Facebook analysis to know this, there is widespread anger, there's a sadness, and in fact it exists all the way across the globe. Even if you just think of the events of the last week, I think at one level we just about become immune. But not quite. Because we know in our hearts that this is actually not the way things should be. There's a brokenness in the world. And in fact, there was a brokenness in the world of Palestine, in the land of Palestine, all the way back at about 4 BC. And it was a brokenness that actually extended all the way across the globe. And it's into that brokenness, and it's a brokenness that actually affects and impacts every person, that the story of Christmas breaks in. It is an arresting story. as the gospel writer Luke, and we've heard it read to us by Joel, as he records this true historical account, it actually starts in a pretty unremarkable way. I mean, there's a young couple, they're travelling from the north of Palestine down south, and they're going there because the husband has to go and register for a census that's being required by the occupying power over Palestine, the Empire of Rome. Pretty unremarkable. But actually, even in that first part of the story in Luke 2, there are some hints there that this is actually going to be radical. Because Old Testament prophets, that is, people that were anointed by God to be his spokespersons, they had foretold hundreds of years before that the Messiah, the anointed one, the king, he would come and he would be the saviour, he would be the rescuer. There were these dozens and dozens of these prophecies. One of the prophecies, in fact, said that this one would be born in Bethlehem, and that's where pregnant Mary is going to. Another prophecy said that this one, this Messiah, would actually reign on the throne of the very famous ancient Israel King David. But the reign would actually not peter out, it would go forever. So as you read the story on the surface, it's unremarkable. But there are these hints. There are these hints that heaven is about to invade earth on a mission of love and rescue. When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labour, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. After wrapping the newborn baby in strips of cloth, they laid him in a feeding trough since there was no available space in any upper room in the village. This ain't no ordinary baby. God announces the most stunning news, and he announces it to shepherds. We kind of glorify them now, looking back on the story. These were kind of pushed off to the side in that society. They were seen as low class. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendour before the shepherds, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God, and the shepherds, they were terrified. Whatever you do this Christmas, don't miss the glory of God. Glory of God, what is it? It literally means the weightiness of God. Think of it as God causing his worth, his magnificence, to be felt tangibly, to be felt visually, to be felt audibly. And we actually often call that the manifest presence of God. The one true living God is awesome. He speaks, and the whole of the created order is brought into existence. If you head along to the Boxing Day test, we can kind of go there relaxed because we've got that funny little piece of wood. You're going to hear pretty regularly, and probably quite raucous, and will get louder as the day goes on, especially if it's a hot day, you're going to hear the name of the Lord being used as a swear word. There ain't anything clever in doing it. It's actually God's mercy that he keeps calling those who slander his name and his reputation. He keeps calling them. He keeps calling them to turn. And to turn and come back to him in favour to mankind. And it's a favour that we simply can't fully comprehend. God comes and shares his glory with us. You see, in the Christmas story, in this coming of Jesus, in God who comes and takes on human flesh, what happens is God becomes imminent. He becomes close. He becomes near. People around the globe, certainly people in our great city of Melbourne, perhaps some who are here tonight, are wounded, feeling rejection, limping, if you like, internally, perhaps also externally, but certainly internally, because they've never had a close encounter with God. They've never had that loving embrace of their Heavenly Father. And so their loved needs continue to go unmet. I mean, in the story, of course, the shepherds were terrified. This unveiled glory of God that appears to them, anyone's going to kind of fall on the ground in the midst of our sin. But God, this great God, he is going to reveal his glory in a very, very personal way, and he's going to reveal it in a way that all of us can actually embrace. As Randall was speaking about the mystery of Christmas, he comes and he takes on human flesh. He steps into our neighborhood. He reveals himself to us. And he does it in such a way that enables him to be the bridge between himself and all of his holiness and us and our brokenness. As Gemma reminds us in the prayers tonight, don't ever separate the manger, the Christmas story, from the cross. And we're going to be visibly reminded of that as soon we take part in Holy Communion. And so these low-class shepherds, effectively pushed down, looked down on by the rest of the community, God comes and makes the greatest announcement ever made in the history of mankind. And friends, God the Holy Spirit, who is the author of Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible, God the Holy Spirit comes and actually makes that announcement to us tonight as we read this account. The angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I've come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard, and is for everyone everywhere. For today in Bethlehem a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You're going to recognize him by this miracle sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Isn't it fantastic? God has come. When we personally embrace Jesus, God in human flesh, it is then and it's only then that we will experience real joy. Remember joy, abiding sense of happiness? That is the only time we will realize it. And the reason is because Jesus is joy. He is joy, and the magnificence of this announcement by God himself is that Jesus came for you. It's very personal, it's universal, it's for everyone everywhere, and it's very particular. It's for each of us. God, the great deliverer, God, the rescuer, God, our saviour. And we all need that. All of us actually need rescuing, because deep, deep inside us, no matter how hard we try and use all sorts of techniques to try and silence that inner voice, we actually know that we need Jesus. And he is the only one who's capable of rescuing us and delivering us. We see it, don't we, on a macro level? I mean, if you look all the way through human history of societies and nations that turn their back on the living God, it doesn't take very long for those nations and societies just to go down the gurgler and just degenerate. And history is replete with example after example. But, and it's a big but, when we turn to Jesus, our Maker, our Saviour, when we have a personal encounter with his presence, the very glory of God, when we turn to him in repentance and faith, that's when we experience the fullness of joy. as we invite God to come near. We remember the one who became flesh, the one who made his dwelling amongst us. That's when we're going to find joy, and it's a joy that will sustain us. It'll joy that will empower us. And that joy comes from simply being connected to the one who is joy himself. In your Across the Creek, in your Christmas bulletins, if you've got them there, please just grab them. You'll find inside there just a little response card, which is like this, opportunity just to mark which service you're at. You might, tonight, just as you're sitting here, singing the song, say, yep, I want to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then you might want to tick that box. I'd like to talk to a pastor about Jesus, etc., some other boxes there. As the ushers come, and as we're going to play an item, just as we head into communion, I'd love you just to take that, for everyone to take that card and actually respond to it. Jesus, God Emmanuel, God with us forever, the Saviour of the world. If, as you've been here tonight, there's kind of like a nudging in your heart, in your inner person. If you feel that nudging, you're not making it up. It's actually the Holy Spirit who comes, and he gently calls us to come to Jesus. Because God took on human flesh and then gave his life as a perfect sacrifice, it means that all of our brokenness, all of our sorrows, all of our anger, all of our rebellion was actually taken by the Lord. And this night, Jesus, through the Spirit, is saying, I came for you. I came and I took on human flesh for you. My arms are open wide. Come to me. Come to me and find real joy.